tractor out on the field. That's Neil, isn't it?
Yep.
And he's got a whole entourage of birds immediately behind the tractor. In fact, there's so many there, I can barely see the tractor. It's a mixture of rooks, some carrion crows, lots of jackdaws there, lesser blackback gulls, and blackhead gulls as well. And you could just about hear them. Neil's gone to the far end of the field. It's quite a small field. It's 7 acres, completely surrounded by mature hedges. And hopefully next week for the Countryside podcast, we'll visit this again because the yellowhammers are starting to flock up in this area, always surprisingly late. Anyway, the tractor's turned round and he's heading back this way. And he's got these special discs on the back of the tractor. Now, something strange happened about an hour ago, and the field was broadcast, not drilled. So if we go down on our hands and knees just here and have a close look at the ground, if I put my fingers down on the ground, there are 3 grains of barley just there. And mixed in with it as well. Oh, sunflower, perfect. I'll just retain rat so he doesn't go too near the tractor. There's a sunflower seed. Then there's some really small seeds. That one little red tiny one next to the barley is fodder radish. And then there's a similar tiny round one as well, which is mustard. And there's Neil just turning round right next to us.
Yep.
200,
a wave.
200 horsepower.
The tractor doesn't drive itself yet, then?
No, and that's not far off. It lifts out at the end of the field. And you can see it's a really heavy machine, five and a half ton, into the soil. And what it's now doing is incorporating this seed into the ground. So if we just walk up where Neil has been. And so there's 10 different seeds gone on here. So you have a complete mix of seeds for which stay unharvested right through the winter.
These are for the birds.
Exactly that. It's called overwinter wild bird seed mix. And that means it lasts right through. You can see Neil has gone into the moisture a little bit. Now, if you look down, can you see any seed?
No.
No, completely disappeared.
It's not going deep, though, is it?
No, it isn't. He's in about 50 mil, about 2 inches. And you can't go deep, so the difficulty is you can't really drill the mustard seed and the cereal seed together. So what we do, we just mix the topsoil and then roll it. It's before it dries out, so it'll be rolled later today. And that gives it a nice, firm, compact seed bed like that, firm, fine and flat.
Will there not be any seeds left though after these seagulls and the rooks?
The gulls are not at all interested in any seeds. They're strictly vegetarian. No, sorry, it's the wrong word to use. They're strictly interested in the worms and the beetles only. It's only the rooks that are after any of the seed, but even they have deserted the seed because they're following the discs, and the discs are bringing up soil invertebrates, things like worms, beetles that we can't see, and that's why they're following the tractor really, really closely. So the gulls are really after the same thing, anything that's living and moving in the soil. And you can see the rest of the field with all the seed on it. There's not a bird on it.
No, they're just following the tractor, yes, aren't they? So they want to see things coming up.
That's right. So you can just see the discs coming towards us, turning the soil one way, and then the second set of discs is turning the soil back again. So it's just mixing and incorporating the seed. There we go. Just coming past us yet again.
You better get out of the way.
I think we'll be disced. So in an hour or two, this will be rolled. Just as it starts to dry off. So we've retained some of the moisture. Oh, there's a spider. Just came out and moved across the soil. There it is.
There we are.
Yep, there we are. That's the sort of food that those rooks are perfect for them. And remember, you know, if they take the seed back to the nest, which they can do to feed the female rook on, there's virtually no moisture in that, whereas the food that they're gleaning from behind the discs there has 70-80% moisture in it, and it's absolutely perfect. So nearly all the rooks we can see are males, and they're gathering as much food as they can to take back to the female. So you can see the rooks, they're quite trusting this morning. They're only, what, 50 yards from us at the most, and just skirting around looking for any soil invertebrates. So that's the beginning of another year here at the farm for the Overwinter Wild Bird Seed Mix. But farmers would scratch their head and say, why on earth are you doing it? Where's the combine? You're just feeding the wildlife. But we do get a small payment for this to cover the cost of the seed and the area of land that it's taken up.
And that's to try and make up for losses of biodiversity.
That's
in
right,
other parts.
Yes. And so everything around that we can see, the hedges are all managed for the wildlife. And again, it's like those plants we just visited in Fox's Grove, and stinging nettles, the garlic mustard, it's all part of that tapestry. And the more variety that you can provide in the countryside, remember, we're a little bit restricted because this is an arable situation. If we move 20 miles that way, you've got broadland, you've got a whole other set of different wildlife that inhabits. That's why wildlife is, you know, you have to scratch your head sometimes. It all has these very exacting requirements. So there we are. I'm going to get out of the way because I'm just standing here talking, and I used to criticise people that did this years ago. It was just a waste of space, but now I'm doing the same thing. It's called growing old gracefully, or not.
Lovely sight of swallows swooping in and out of the stable buildings here in the farmyard. And they're living their best lives, aren't they?
They certainly are. They're coming in from all directions over there. There's one over the top of the buildings. And the first recording I did at silly o'clock this morning, it was well before 5 a.m. and it was still pitch dark in the stable block over there. And they were serenading me in the darkness, the male swallows singing almost down the microphone. And that's pretty nearly tearful, considering a month ago they were then leaving South Africa. You can't kind of but envy the variability of the wildlife we have in the UK here. It's a very special place.
There was about a dozen pairs, wasn't there, last week? How many have you got now?
Yeah, there's just under 30 adults. I think it was 27 I counted last night. I go round in the stables with a torch and just check the number of sleeping birds.
Of course you do, Chris.
Yes.
Of course.
No, I love doing it. I'm kind of addicted to the wildlife here. And I can just see one of the robins up on the peak of the building there.
Yes, that's yes. There, yeah. And your eyesight hasn't faded, Chris.
No, everything else has. Just come up here, because that reminds me of something. Because for about 2 to 3 weeks, we're meant to be answering listeners' questions, but
we'll get to that in a moment.
Just here is ivy on the wall of the workshop. Lots of bird droppings in there. This is Virginia creeper. Here is a downpipe from the old buildings. And tucked in to this spot in here,
next to a snail,
is somewhere is a robin's nest with some babies in there. It's a bit lower down, I think. They come in through here. And somewhere in there is a nest with 4 young robins in. And I've been watching the young being fed by the parents, and it's so well secreted because it's now coming into leaf that I couldn't actually see it. And yet you're right, a snail finishing off its hibernation on the wall there. Yes, so they're in there, but I generally try not to disturb nesting birds.
And they'll be keeping stone quiet, won't they?
Yes, yeah. So they've ducked down. So I thought we were going to be able to see them. I could actually see the nest being constructed about 10 days ago, and the young have already hatched, so fantastic, yes. So there we are.
Bumper bundle of questions this week on the emails, so thanks very much to everyone who has messaged the programme. Right at the start of the podcast this week, Chris, we were talking about the wonderful sounds first thing in the morning at this time of the year, with all the dive bombed there by a pigeon. All the wonderful sounds at dawn, the dawn chorus.
Yes.
And Sarah in San Diego, in sunny California.
Goodness me.
A dawn chorus from thousands of miles away. And Sarah, thank you for sending it to us.
Yes, and most of those sounds are foreign to me, and that makes me realise that the sounds I play on the Countryside podcast are foreign to a great many people, because we have listeners all over the world. The only common species there that we might be sharing is the European starling, which we have here at in Norfolk Countryside. Large flocks of them doing murmurations in the winter months, and now they're all nesting, and particularly here at the farm in some of the nest boxes I'll put up. But a huge list of sort of birds that are native to where Sarah lives.
Yes, the hooded oriole, Nuttall's woodpecker, the northern house wren, the American crow, the Buick's wren, and Allen's hummingbird.
Wow,
so
yes.
These are all completely different species.
Absolutely.
It's wonderful to learn
and
about them.
That's what I was trying to highlight with, you know, what biodiversity is, and all of those birds need a special habitat as well, and special kind of nesting materials as well that they use.
Now, I think Matthew may be in the States as well, and excuse me if you're not, Matthew, because we're just judging by what you've sent us as a photograph here, but it's a koi carp being eaten by a snake. And Matthew says it's a garter snake,
yes,
trying to down a pretty good-sized goldfish.
Yes, and exactly that. The goldfish is colossal, but snakes have the ability of kind of dislocating their jaw so that they can fit quite large prey down it. I tried it years ago and I used to eat very quickly. And it's quite an amazing sight, because the fish is a good 50 mil diameter, 2 inches, and about 100 mil long. And this snake is not much thicker than your thumb. So it's going to have quite a task to eat that.
Snakes are quite famous, aren't they, for
yes,
being able to dislocate those jaw bones.
Yes, yeah, it's so absolutely marvellous.
Right, this is PJ from Uddingston. Hi to Matthew, Chris and all at Highash Farm. I hope your recovery is on track.
It is, yes.
He hopes you're obeying doctor's orders.
Well, that's doubtful, but I'm getting this by degrees, yes.
Uddingstone is in Scotland. We're probably a few days behind with the spring season here, says Jim. In fact, there was a four seasons in a day recently. However, the garden birds around my feeder have paired up, and hopefully my large ivy hedge is all a-twitter. Just as an aside, I listened to an old podcast from exactly 10 years ago to the day, and Matthew caused a little hilarity by mispronouncing goldfinches as goldfish.
It's so easy to do when you're live on air, and it's too late to kind of get it back. It's already gone out. So.
Can there be a charm of goldfish, wonders Jim.
Of course there can, yes, and all the best wishes, he says, and kind regards. Thank you for that.
And here's a lovely one from Sue and Colin, who are in Skipton in Yorkshire. And they're saying in capital letters with lots of exclamation marks, they're back.
Wonderful.
And here's a photograph,
yes,
of a swallow on a cable. We were cycling today, 10th of April, saw our first swallows of the summer.
Yeah.
We are ecstatic,
yeah,
and get as excited as you do to welcome these weary travellers.
Yes, all the way up in Yorkshire. And that's the other thing. Spring kind of unfolds from the south to the north. You can have celandines in flower, those lovely yellow flowers we were talking about, in the sort of first week of March, and then gradually they spread northwards, and swallows will do the same. So swallows arrival time up in Scotland can be a month later than here in the UK.
We're talking about swallows, and there's swallows overhead now.
Of course, yes.
And one of them clicking.
Yes.
Doing the clicking.
Yes, and that's typical of the sound that they make. And I think I recorded some of that at well before 5 o'clock this morning, and you'd be able to hear that. It's quite amazing. Some of the African tribes do this click language as well, rather than speech. So, yeah, quite amazing. So thank you, everybody, for all the emails and questions that we have each week.
Keep them coming. Email chris@highashfarm.com. And a big thank you to everyone who's contributed to the running costs of the podcast as well. Lots of you make donations. And if you're interested in making a one-off payment or a small monthly donation, you can have a look at the website, highashfarm.com/podcast.
And thank you, everybody who's contributed. And I keep thinking of those St. George's Day flies that I think, and some people actually, on reflection, call them St. Mark's Day flies as well. As I said, some of the creatures in the countryside have four or five names just for one creature, particularly in the bird world. It's quite amazing. So some people walk through the farm and just say, "I've heard a sphinx." And I have to scratch my head and realise it's actually another nickname for a chaffinch. So apologies if I don't always use the right word. The right meaning's there. Oh, that's my age.
That is being very helpful there. He's untying a lot of knots that you've got in a piece of netting on
yes,
the back here.
Yeah, that's what we cover the hay up when we're doing hay deliveries in the back of the truck. And, yeah, he's being moderately helpful, but chewing through the elastic rope that holds the net into place. Ah, yes. Rat. Demented terrier at work.
He's not leaving you alone at the moment, though,
no,
is he?
No, I'm still in sight, yes. Well, thank you, everybody, for sending all those lovely questions and comments through. Skinner's on the mend.